following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 24. As usual, I'm Greydoll.
And I'm Jason.
Today's record date is, it's May 6th, of course, 7 p.m. Central Time. Jay, what you been up to?
Oh, well, a little bit of MechWarrior here, a little bit of MechWarrior there. I'm getting blown up. I don't know what happened to me. I was like on a roll a couple of weeks ago, and then somebody put some bad juju on me, or someone stole me mojo or something, man. I have this big circle on me everywhere I go. I could be in a group of people and the missile will find me, I promise you. But they've been doing some MechWarrior, been doing a little bit of World of Tanks because I found out all that time I was playing this one that I had actually, about a year ago, had a second account that I had gotten all of my pay-for stuff on. And I was like, what? Because I had all these heavy tanks and, you know, tier 3, or, completely tricked out tier stuff, and I'm like, what no. So I had to go back, and I've got basically two accounts. Guild Wars 2, played a little bit of Guild Wars 2, not a lot, and believe it or not, I went old school to some of my old turn-based stuff, Civ 4. Don't know why I did that, but for some reason I went back and played some Civ 4. And then I went back to the roots of it all and played Dawn of War with the I think it was not the Demon Hunters mod, who are the black guy? Legion of the Damned, thank you. And I played two or three scenarios of that, and since they've shut down the multiplayer, I can't do anything there, but I don't know. I wanted to play it, that's all.
Was it the first Dawn of War?
Yes, I played first, and I actually played Winter Assault too.
Yeah. I liked Winter Assault, that was kind of fun. I don't know why, I just liked having hordes of IG running around.
Yeah, you could turtle up, man. That's awesome.
Right.
What about you?
Well, I finished Mass Effect 3. The last show, I had just started the Citadel DLC, so I've got through all that. Finished the game. Had my Paragon score high enough to where I was able to get the neutral ending. So took that, and that was kind of cool. This, like I said, has been my first complete, first game completion since they did the extended ending where you're not just left wondering what in the world happened to everyone. So that was kind of cool. Got to see that. And I have restarted Batman Arkham Origins. I thought I was going to have to play through to a certain point to hit the Cold Cold Heart, the Mr. Freeze DLC. But from the start menu, you have the option of just playing it, but it's a Batman Arkham game. I love them, so I'm just gonna play through it, get a lot of gadgets, get some good upgrades, and then I'll probably try the DLC.
But now, can I ask a question?
Yeah,
that DLC, is it sort of a splinter, or do you have to be a certain level, or I guess to say completed so much of the story plot before it really comes into play, or does it kind of parallel the storyline?
It apparently parallels. It is its own standalone. It's not like, you know, in the world map, this new little doorway pops up and that takes you into it. From when I first started the game, the second playthrough, right there on the beginning screen, you can go to story mode or you can play the DLC. So standalone, I don't know if the two will intermesh. I don't know if it matters whether I play and get my gadgets and upgrade or not. Like I talked about on one of the previous shows, it looks like you're going to have some new gadgets, like heated armor, heated weapons, things like that. So, like I said, I'm a huge Arkham series fan. It doesn't matter. I'll play through it, give it a shot. But, you know, I kind of got boned at work. Ended up working all weekend, so I wasn't able to jump into the WildStar beta at all that went on this weekend, and kind of wanted to play a little bit, but you know, the game comes out in less than a month, so spilled milk and whatnot, but I think I'm more upset at having to work all weekend than
than the beta. These people in there keeping you working so that you can earn money to play online, dirty.
Well, it's these mega lawyers who insist that everything be done after hours and on the weekends. Yeah, that's what it is. Bastards.
I know it.
So Jay and I were talking before the show started, and it's kind of a light news week. He pretty much has the lion's share of the news. I threw just a couple little, really just one-liners in there, and we'll get to those later. But for now, it's kind of mostly going to be the Jay show, so sorry, buddy.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel bad about it, but this is what I did on Saturday, you know, in between doing my homework and finishing my take-home tests. I upfronted some stuff here. For those of you who know me, know that, in fact, those of you who know us, both of us are former military, both Army. And I love first-person shooters, really do. Love first-person shooters. Ghosts, haven't played that yet. It's the only one I haven't played yet. And now with Advanced Warfare coming out, I'm obviously now there's two I'm behind on. But that being said, I've played all of the game-changing first-person shooters. But let me just throw out here that to me, a first-person shooter has to have an epic storyline before it's going to draw me in. Multiplayer game is really cool, don't get me wrong. It can draw me in because Black Ops 2, truly the multiplayer that drew me in, the storyline was just so weird to me. I really couldn't follow it that well, and it may just be me being retarded or something, but truthfully speaking, the story plot wasn't there for me on Black Ops 2, but the two-player rocked. So, that being said, I've got to have a first-person shooter with story. And to me, no other first-person shooter that I've played in a long time has had the story that Homefront had. Now, those of you who might know Homefront, the original was the storyline is that North Korea becomes a superpower, basically puts the jump start on everybody by deploying imp weapons and then takes over a large part of North America. So, and we're in the middle of a recession and a whole bunch of other things. Not that Obama's putting us there, but that's not the point. The point is that this story plot is visceral. It's very Red Dawn, the new one, with some stuff, you know, thrown in. It's not post-apocalyptic, but you're trying to take back an America that was taken from you, and you're being oppressed as a people, and you're seeing the things on American soil that you hear about in these other places. Now, like I said, me being an actual soldier, been over there, actually fought in a war along, and you have too, Gray. The point is that we've seen these things, so it really hits a nerve or touches a chord with me to see this happening. And the way they suspended disbelief in this game was by pulling in huge names. They actually went out and got Monster and Tiger Direct and Coca-Cola and Burger King and people like that. When you fight in these zones, you're fighting with these real names above your head. That suspends your disbelief because you're in America. You're fighting in America for your freedom. People who are leaving, you know, mass graves of Americans on American soil. So that being said, I've been waiting really hard because, as everyone knows, THQ went out of business, and that's who owned Homefront 1. When they died, oh man, it just broke my heart because Homefront 1 was kind of a flop because the engine wasn't everything it could have been, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you played it, right?
No, I didn't, but I saw those reviews and everyone, yeah.
It's worth it. If you can, go get the $9 copy at GameStop and play through just the story mode. You don't have to play first player. Now, it did have some really good multiplayer options. Weren't available before, but that's irrelevant. I'm not going to go over that. You can read all the reviews for that. What's important is what I'm trying to bring across is that this game immersed you in it. It was when you were angry or when someone was shot or there was a character. Now, they're dropping the F-bomb every 5 minutes, so just deal with that. It is a mature audience-only game. But that being said, I'm waiting for Homefront 2 because Crytek is doing it. So it's going to be on the Crysis 3 engine, the same engine that's bringing out, you know, all these other top-of-the-line first-person shooters that everybody's waiting on is going to be Homefront 2. Now, that being said, they haven't told us when in 2014 it's supposed to be out, but the Crytek purchased it, and they purchased the rights from THQ and the storyline and everything, and it was already in mid-production when THQ went under. So I'm hoping that they pulled a lot of the studio. They're being really quiet about how many people from the original studio made it over for the storyline and the, you know, and the back plot and the artists. I've seen a lot of renderings, and recently they've put out on, we're going to include that in the show notes, some of the gameplay that they're using the engine for, and it's really just, you know, static collections and run-throughs and people doing stuff. but it's a YouTube video. It's really long. And then we're also going to include a couple of the teaser shots where they've shown the work that's coming along so far. But what I'm really, let me throw one more really in there, waiting for, is for someone to grab on where the original left off. Because, like I said, there's something about being in middle Ohio, Tiger Direct warehouse, shooting your way out as North Koreans zip cord in and start tearing you apart with superior firepower, and you're part of the rebel unit trying to just survive and get the civilians to safety. So I'm going to go ahead and put that out there. I want Crytek. Last week, I was just like, Crytek falls on its face with with Microsoft. I do not want Crytek to fall on its face with Homefront. I really want that to push. Did you never play the original Homefront at all?
I didn't, no.
I'm going to have to send you a copy, I swear, dude. I love you that much. I want you to play this game because it's almost painful.
So that's essentially the premise of the second one, is Korea reinvades, or they were never fully ousted?
They were never fully ousted. Okay. In the first one, I don't want to spoil it for you, but you're part of a major resistance push, and it's the American, it's almost a recipe for America. You're the underdog. You happen to be the man at the right place at the right time, the linchpin movement that starts the flood, and that's really what the first one's about. And it's really awesome. It's funny too, because I have a couple of friends who are like Tiger. They work at Tiger Direct, and I call them all the time, and I'm like, "Dude, I'm shooting your warehouse up. How do you feel about that?" It's really funny, and like I said, everything on there is done so well. They spent a lot of money pulling in these name brands and contributors and sponsors to get this to suspend your disbelief. White Castle is in there. So I mean, a lot of people are like, what? White Castle? I live in the South. A lot of people don't know what White Castle is. But that being said, just play it. It's worth the $9 just to play the first person shooter portion. So, cool. But like I said, can't wait. Hope that makes it. And the multiplayer was really good. They had a whole bunch of groundbreaking firsts, but then it got lost in the fuzz of I think that was Modern Warfare 3 and Black Ops 1 took it down. So. All right, moving on. The Order, 1886. Have we talked about this?
Mm-hmm, we have.
Yes, this is, I can't wait on this one either. This is my, if I'm going to have one game on the PS4, this is going to be the game that I really want to have, because it is what I see as the new Assassin's Creed, and apparently someone else at the Game Fanatic sees that as well. I'm gonna, like I said, gonna go ahead and include the notes on here, but I was surfing around trying to find out anything on this, the Order, as far as, because they haven't released its date yet. They just say summer, and that's it.
Right.
It's just been, because I've seen the screenshots, it's incredible screenshots. The cinematics are incredible, and then they're like go directly into what's supposed to be real gameplay. And from what I'm seeing, I mean, these people run by torches, and the torch flickers on their face as they run by. It's gorgeous. It looks like a screenshot of a real movie.
Yeah.
And the melee is brutal. I mean, absolutely brutal. I was looking at some of the melee scenes, and I mean, there's just, it looks like, what's that game, Dead or Alive? There's people landing on top of each other and just steadily beating the crap out of each other. It looks like, I mean, it does. It looks like Brian Fury just beating the dog snot out of, one of his peeps. And then the concept, the weaponry in here is basically what we're talking about. And for those who don't know, like we've talked about this before, but it's an alternate history of Victorian England in the late 1800s. So you've got steampunkish, very, very steampunkish stuff, but it actually breaks into real concept designs that they had at that time for the early 1900s, the First World War. But it's alternate. So you take the place, you take the persona of a knight, a secret order of knights who existed all the way back to King Arthur. That's where it started. And basically what happens is they pass those titles down person to person, and your title is of Galahad. You're a part of a four-man group, basically. I think Lady Lagrain's in there. There's quite a few people. I don't want to name it all off, because like I said, I want people to be happy and go dig this stuff up. But they've actually got real characters from actual history, real modern history, that are in this, intertwined in the storyline. And quite a few of these people are, you know, were fighters in their own right in real history. So to see that they've integrated this story plot like so. But what's impressive, that, and the reason I say you should get it in this early, not just because it's single player is going to be outstanding, or the fact that they're going to have multi-use, you know, tools. You got a monocular that can zoom and can also signal the blimps above you for aerial. They haven't said specifically if it's aerial extraction or if it's aerial drops or just help from above. You can actually tap out Morse code on the DualShock. That's what it's for. You actually literally tap out the Morse code.
Wow.
Thought that was pretty cool. The cover, isn't it? And they've got a new cover system where they've got soft cover and hard cover. And as you get closer to hard cover, it protects you more. You also do the head pop. And also you can just bring up your gun. That very, I think it's Gears of War. Isn't that how they did it in Gears of War?
I'm not sure. Just like, you mean just like stick your gun out and fire?
Yeah, they also had it, I think, in that game with the two guys with hockey masks. I always forget the name of it. It's like Cartel or something like that. Army of Two.
Oh,
Army of Two.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, where they just pray and spray, you know?
Right.
So it's going to be sort of like that from what I'm seeing. But as you move further away from hardcover, you'll get soft cover, and it's just sort of automatic instead of you having to get into place a specific way or something like that. The combat is going to be brutal with these guns. I mean, some of these guns are just like insta-kills. So I've seen that. And then, like I said, the gadgets are really awesome. I guess what I want to say is they've really scripted it well. It's been being written since 2006. And since they've already talked about, this isn't going to be the only thing. They've already talked about they're going to franchise more than one of these. And since they've kind of gone the opposite way of Assassin's Creed, and Assassin's Creed says that there's a car or if there's a, you know, a machine gun, we're not going to let the Anima go in that era.
Right.
This group is not like that at all. You got machine guns on the first install of this game. So if you stop and think about it, it's an alternate history. So they could go all the way from Arthurian legend up through the 14th century, the 16th century, and still maintain that steampunk, you know, genre, and tell a completely different story if they decide to wear this out. So I'm just thinking, if you really want to get in from the ground floor and think ahead, you know, they're going to go places with this. Sony's already put a lot of money into this. I think it's Dawn. What is the name of it? Ready at Dawn is the name of the studio that's doing it. So they're going to pump money into these people. So if Destiny's not your only thing that you want to buy, I definitely would look into this game.
Yeah, just even watching the trailers, the gameplay looks, like you said, it just looks incredible. Such an obvious next-gen game.
It's so deep, man. It is so deep. Like I said, we're including a couple of the links here, just the Game Fanatic link where they kind of compare it with the Assassin's Creed, and then I'm going to also put in another link with like the 10 best things about the game that they've proven so far. And they haven't, like I said, they haven't released much on this game. What, two trailers?
Yeah, something like that. It's not much.
I mean, two trailers, but I mean, and yet you're talking about Industrial Revolution is where they kick it off, but they could go all the way back to 1429 or 1916, Joan of Arc, Battle of Verdun. You choose it. They can go anywhere. Hundred Years' War. And who all was in the Order? Because these are famous people that they're including already. They could have included anybody in the Order at this point, you know, much like the a la Assassin's Creed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think they said, oh, yeah, I remember the guy's name. The Marquis de Lafayette is in this one. And, you know, the Marquis de Lafayette, he's really a historical figure in the French and American Revolution, right? And in this game, apparently, he's a knight in training, and he's awaiting his title. So you're going to be playing alongside a historical figure that was badass, dude. So I just wanted to throw that out there. To me, this is one of those games besides Homefront that I really, really want to make it. Are you thinking about maybe getting in on it?
Well, you know, first that's going to involve a PS4, which, you know, I really want to upgrade my PC first, but, you know, for just a nanosecond, I had almost considered going Xbox One, and then I saw The Order, and that'll keep me on PlayStation.
Yep, same here.
Yep. Yep, it looks really cool.
All right. Well, you saw the analog NT, the next thing we were talking about. What'd you think about that?
I think it's neat, but
you got me monologuing. I'm scared here.
Well, no. I think it's neat. I think it's a cool thing, but you know, like we were saying before the show, I don't think it's that neat.
Yeah, $499 neat.
Right.
I mean, that is a PS4, right?
Yeah, it sure is. Go ahead and talk about it, then we'll then I'll, okay. I'll give my opinion.
All right, so the Analog NT, basically a company has now come out with an aluminum version of the NES game system, and it plays the original NES games and the Famicom games. And you're like, okay, well, did you just say $500? Yes, I said $500. It is aluminum. It has four slots, but it does play any of the original Famicom, and it looks like they're playing the import and export, you know, the U.S. and Japanese titles, because I looked and all the cassettes there are both genre. And what's interesting, you're like, okay, well, why would I spend $500 for an aluminum box that plays those? Let me tell you why. Because it has an HDMI adapter where you can not only take something that was standard definition, but you can crank it up to 1080p. That's pretty awesome. Now, that being said, is that still worth $499? Well, they even went one step further and put a scanline generator in that thing so that it's still, even at 1080p crystal clarity, does that retro scanline CRT kind of, you know, pixelization. So even though it's stretched out, I mean, not stretched out, upscaled, that's what it is. Even though it's upscaled to 1080p, it's not stretched now. This is not one of those real, you know, wanky kind of things where it stretches it and makes it look like you're watching either TV on an HDMI TV, you know, thing where it's just whacked out. This is actually upscaled, no stretching, straight 1080p or 720p, depending on, you know, but it retains the original aspect ratio. And then they go one step further to put in the scanline generator so that it looks like you're still on the old school TVs. So, I mean, if you want retro, this kind of is the only way to go retro. It does still have the original OEM NES controllers. Keen used those, apparently, and it uses the OEM Famicom controllers too, which, you know, by picture only, is there a difference?
Right.
But also comes with a composite S video cable, RGB, B and C cable, and the Famicom extension and NES cables. You can get this bad boy painted in any color you want. You can have red, blue, pink, black, or classic silver. And like I said, it is made out of aluminum, so it's not like you're going to crush this thing anymore. And I'm hoping you don't have to blow on the cartridges. That's the only other thing.
Right.
Because I was like, what? But so $499. But it can also attach the gun, the original Zap gun. It can attach the 3DS glasses or 3D glasses and the Famicom external drive. So that's saying something right there, I thought, that it can attach all the original, you know, attachments, adapters and stuff.
Yeah, that is cool. You know, I love retro games, but you know, $500 though, man.
It's painful, but like I said, how nerd. That's what I put in the thing here for the people who don't know. Top of the show notes says, "How nerdcore are you?" So,
right.
You got to be nerdcore to do that.
You know, if that thing were to drop in, well, honestly, significantly in price, I would be all about it. Especially, I mean, that's awesome. Can you imagine? You know, like Legend of Zelda on a full 1080p, and it just looks, of course, looks. 8-bit or whatever, but you know, like you say, it's not stretched, it's not compressed or anything like that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It would be, but like I said, man, $500. I don't know if I can justify that.
Well, it's on pre-order right now, so you don't have to.
Yeah, right.
But for $499, that being said, when you spend your $4.99 on pre-order, it immediately goes in. There is no we don't take it out until it ships. They take your money right now, and they tell you that it's shipping this summer. So I'm guessing within the next 3 months.
Right. I wonder how hard it is to get the Famicom cartridges.
The cartridges, probably not so much. The Famicom player, I'm imagining that's going to be a biznatch.
Yeah, the external drive thing. Yeah,
that's a reason to go look down at the, you know, the, I hate to say it, but I'm a big old yard sale, or what do you call the flea market?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, you dig around in the bottom of those boxes, there's no telling what you'll find. And that's where you find, you know, your old Panther systems and, you know, dadgum 16-bit Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be the place.
Know, and I've talked about them before. You know, here in Texas, they have a store called Game Over Video Games. And that's all they do are essentially retro gaming stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually have some. I know they have a ton of NES, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had Famicom stuff as well.
Oh, I've got a skeletonized NES in my closet right now that I can't get working right.
Yeah.
I'm working on it, though.
Oh. You know, I would like to see something like this. I don't know. Upgraded, I guess, to handle Super NES. Because there are some SNES games that I would love to really be able to dive back into.
Oh, you're not talking about GoldenEye, are you?
No. For me, on the Super Nintendo, one of my all-time favorites was called Lufia and the Fortress of Doom. It's kind of a... Yeah, it's a dorky title, but it's a JRPG. But that's one of the... That's not your character, but it's kind of your love interest. Her name is Lufia. So, but that... It was just an awesome, awesome Super Nintendo game. They... And I don't know why, but they put out a second one called Lufia 2 Rise of the Sinistrals. Those are kind of your... kind of demigod level bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
That game right now is going for $1,300 on Amazon.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Extremely popular. Extremely popular, and I think Lufia 2 was a little rare in the U.S., but... Yeah. But anyways, you know, if you have the $500, guys, this is a really cool thing. Like I said... You know, 1080p, 52-inch Duck Hunt.
No doubt. You got to be nerdcore to do this now.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously have the biggest, you know, nerd thing on the block if you got this bad boy attached to your 1080.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool. Alrighty. I'll pick up from here with my little small little tidbits of news. Blizzard. announced, or today had their quarterly investor call. All the news with that was came out. One of the big things is that WoW is down to 7.6 million subscribers. I'm sure Blizzard execs are, you know, whatever, messing up their diapers over that one. But back in February, they said it jumped to 7.8. I don't know why, but it did. And they're back down to 7.6 million. I'm sure when Warlords comes out, that's going to skyrocket again, because they said there's already 1 million pre-orders for Warlords of Draenor, the new expansion. Let's see. One other thing I found that was kind of I thought was kind of cool is that launched on March 11th on the PC and April 16th on the iPad, Hearthstone now has over 10 million registered users on the two different platforms. So nice. That's like some old school WoW numbers right there. And, you know, we've talked about this numerous times on the show. Collectible, customizable card game, free to play. You will earn some cards as you go through the beginning levels of each deck. Each deck is a class. And, of course, you can buy packs, booster packs. So it is free to play. Technically, you never have to shell out a penny for this game. I highly recommend it. It is fun. But yeah, so just a little bit of numbers coming out of Blizzard's side of the street. Today also, a game that we've talked fairly, not a whole lot about, but a little bit, EVE Online. Today is their birthday. It's their 11th anniversary. Right. Well, you know, I don't need to say it. It's already been said. Not the game for me. Jay was a big fan, and... I don't see an end in sight.
No, never.
Nope, never. And you know what? Something I just thought of, this hit me the other day. I had said, So we talked about how CCP is canceling World of Darkness. And I had said during the course of that conversation, well, what are they going to do about the Lego minifigs game? And it's not CCP that's doing the Lego minifigs. That was my bad. It's Funcom. So Funcom is doing the Lego minifig MMO, not CCP. So
yay!
Disregard that.
Oh, I'll go tell my son. He'll be so happy.
Right. Well, happy birthday, Eve. And if you're an Eve player, 11 down, who knows how many more to go. Let's see. And the last little bit of news that I came across is Humble Bundle. Jay and I have talked about this numerous times. They are having in their Humble store a big Steam-esque sale at the moment. Began today, I believe, the 6th, which is today, and runs through the 21st. Now, when you go to humblebundle.com, there's a big banner right at the top of the page. Just click that. It'll take you to the store. It is like Steam-esque in price. Right now, South Park The Stick of Truth, normally $60, is on sale for $40.
Nice.
Batman Arkham Origins, which, you know, if you're listening to this via download, you've way missed it. But for right now, for the next roughly hour, Batman Arkham Origins is like $7.
27 minutes.
Is it 27 minutes left?
27 minutes.
There
$7.49. Oh, yeah. And I'm looking at that.
It is such a great game. It runs through the 21st. Obviously, they're going to do little flash sales here and there, just like Steam does. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. Be sure to check that out if you're looking to expand that.
Wow, yeah, they've got the Walking Dead series and the Shadowrun series.
Yeah. Did you play any of the Shadowrun stuff?
No, but I mean that's a brand new the Dragonfall. That's the brand new content they just released. It's still like $15 bucks. They got it here for $10, man. That's 30% off.
Right. Did you ever play the Shadowrun when it was on Genesis or Super Nintendo?
Negative, sir.
Yep. That was and this Shadowrun is just a better graphics, better gameplay of that game from way back when. So it's like XCOM, turn-based strategy. But it's some good stuff.
I
recommend checking that out. All right, that's going to about wrap us up for news. We're going to move on to geeky stuff. There again, I couldn't come up with anything, so the J Show, take two.
Man, I'm monologuing. I'm going to have a hero beat me in a second. All right, Castles and Crusades. For anyone who's ever played Dungeons and Dragons, you know this was one of the better ripoffs of the initial system, the very first system. So it's been celebrating its 10-year in print, and by a twist of fate, according to their thing, their three central books, the Three Sisters is what they call them, Player's Handbook, Monster Treasures, and Castle Keeper's Guide, have completely sold out. So to do that, they want to get them back into print. So I was like, oh, well, y'all are mismanaging your capital, but I still love you anyway. Funding goal is $15,000, and as of today at 7:34, they've made 5,000 past their goal, and they still have 27 days to go. So in the first 3 days, they beat their goal. Now, what's awesome about this is what they've got planned to do stretching wise. They set the goal at 15,000 so that they can have a deep print run and make a better looking book, which, you know, anybody who wants a nice book, especially if it's going to be a second release edition, right?
Sure.
Okay. But at 25K, the MT comes out in full color, and if they hit 45K, the CKG, which is, where is it at? It's listed. Comes out in full color, which is, that'd be nice. But that's actually not what I'm happy about. What I'm happy about is all the additions. I hate to say this. They explain the stretch rewards, which is really awesome. You know, the Castle Crusaders Guide, Vacant Adventure module autographed at 22,000, 25,000 to get the monsters and treasures in full color. But what I'm interested in is the add-ons. What they did here is they said you can get in, you know, basically your pledge. You know how, if you listen to our show, you know how this works, right? You make a pledge and you're put in a certain level. So if you just do basically a $25 pledge, you get one copy of the Player's Handbook, print, and digital. That's worth it right there, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you go all the way up to $99, what they call level 5, you get one copy of the Player's Handbook, print and digital, one copy of the Monsters and Treasure, print and digital, and one copy of the Castle Keeper's Guide, print and digital, plus one set of character reference sheets. So you get the full thing of what they were trying to reproduce, $100, bam, right there.
Nice.
All of it, print and digital. That's actually really cool. That's really awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And the estimated delivery date will be August 2014, so you get it this year.
That's nice.
Yes. Now, here's where it gets awesome, and that's the reason I want to put this on here today. If you do that, you can actually say, with your help, more coming add-ons. Castle and Crusades has mountains of support material, and you can add books, screens, adventures, and more by simply increasing your pledge amount, the amount of the items you want. So if you want 4-panel Castles and Crusades screen, just add $13, and you'll get it. If you want an extra player's handbook, just add $25. $17 for a digital copy of the player's handbook, $25 for a digital copy of Castle Keeper, and $15 for a digital copy of the Monster's Manual. Then if you want the Codex Celtrarum, which I've never even had, $23. $25 for the Book of Familiars, Rune Lore, and it goes on and on. But what's interesting is that they'll let you do this. You don't have to meet one goal to get another goal. You just get to add on what you want. I hadn't seen that before. Have you?
No. You know what? In all honesty, I think I have. And
have you really?
That was with, to an extent, that was with Reaper Miniatures did something like that with the Vampire level miniature collection years ago. And what they did is they released like mega miniatures, like the really big, you know, as we know them now, like the dragon miniatures, those big, huge. So it's kind of the same thing. For an extra $25, you could get this dragon or blah, 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 blah. Other than that, I haven't really seen it on anyone else's Kickstarter.
That's awesome that people are doing that. But the reason this is so big to them and why it's so big to me is because, I don't know if you know this, but the original Dungeons & Dragons books, the only thing in color in them was the covers. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and those pictures were drawn by, I think, Gary Gygax's kid, you know, because they were horrible, dude. But
yeah.
the point is, Castles and Crusades, as long as I've known them, have just been black and white, even on the digital edition. See, I purchased Castles and Crusades from Troll Games for Fantasy Grounds, which we've talked about the digital pen and paper option. It was a module that you could plug into Fantasy Grounds, and it automatically configured your Fantasy Grounds to work with the Castle Crusade system, their playset, dice, which is, I mean, it's standard dice, but it pre-created the character sheets for you, the monster sheets, and it gave you a digital copy of the books, of the Player's Guide and the Castle Keeper. I don't know if it gave you the Monster's Guide, but that's not the point. The point is it was all in black and white, just like the real books. Well, what they're trying to do here is go color. They want to go color, and that's really, anyone who's ever published anything understands the difficulty in doing a color publishing. So that's what they're trying to do, is they're pre-raising these amounts of money so that they can be up there with the kind of books that you're used to seeing now, those beautiful cardstock books that, you know, WotC puts out, and that, you know, we were just talking about them a second ago. Who does the World of Darkness?
CCP?
CCP.
Sword and Sorcerer.
And wasn't it not White Dwarf? Yeah, White Dwarf puts out all that their series. So when you go to a store and you see these games, you know, Steve Jackson and stuff like that, these are beautiful, gorgeous cardstock stuff. And then you see Castles and Crusades, well, you don't look twice, and that's really not fair because Castles and Crusades rocks as a system. It pretty much goes by the old rules. It's a revamping of the old rules. So to have these books back out there again in full color and available to everyone, both as, you know, print and digital download, that's incredible. So I say go support them. They're already up their first goal of 20,000. They need 5,000 more to reach their stretch goals of making everything color. So, I mean, they've got 27 days left. Go support these bad boys. They deserve it. They've been busting their romps. So 10 years. Do it.
So you said it's essentially a revamping of the old rules. So that means it's like first edition D&D?
Yeah, basically like first edition D&D.
Okay, gotcha. You know, I've seen them in the various stores, but I've obviously never even cracked the book. I wasn't sure what the rule set was. I mean, an old school D&D gamer, would they have any trouble?
No, not at all.
They would immediately recognize.
Yes.
The charts and the rules and.
Yes, exactly. Okay. The 18-100 system, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So there you go.
Do they call it THACO?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say. I would think so, yeah. But yeah, you get the general idea. Combat is not much different. They did squeeze off a couple things that people have been complaining about over the years. So, you know, actually, I think people should go check this out. But they're based out of Little Rock, Arkansas. So it's not like it's a foreign country. You know, these people are local. You know, so we call that Little Beirut. So maybe it is a foreign country. But definitely go support these guys. They've already had 191 backers in 3 days. So, you know, join the club, man. Put in $25. Get your copy, if nothing else, of the player's handbook. That's all you need to play the game. You know, I mean, it's good to have a Dungeon Master's guy, but truthfully speaking, really all you need is the player's handbook. But if you want to get the player's handbook, the Monster Treasure in Castle Keepers, it's $99, and you will get a cop. And it looks like if they make their color, you'll get color copies of each one and then digital copies of each one, plus character reference sheets for $100. I mean, that's awesome.
That is awesome.
All right.
Very cool. Yeah, I like that. That's good stuff. Take the next one. Go ahead.
Yeah. And for those of you who have a few bucks extra, and I really can't stress this enough, everybody knows that we are always willing and you know, want to help anyone who deserves it, anyone who's, you know, given to the community and never really asked for anything in return, not just in the gaming community but in the information community. Well, we have a family going at Holosuite Media, and one of our family members has found himself on the tough side, and he doesn't have anything to fall back on at the moment. And he was very, very sick, very ill, almost to the point, well, he was taken to the hospital and he was operated on, and he was under the impression it was going to be one thing, and it turned out to be something else. And basically it took major surgery, and this poor fella can't actually work right now to help, you know, cover the bills that he created, and his insurance was lacking, let's just put it that way. So that being said, this poor gentleman is out right now, and he's one of our family. He's one of the people who help us bring this show to all y'all out there. And it hurts us as much as it hurts him. But, you know, when you get yourself in a position where you know, it's, you know, put your hand out or suffer, it's time. And so this gentleman's asking for a little bit of help. It's on a thing called GoFundMe.com. We're going to put the link up. And any money that you could give this young man to help in his doctor bills, all the money, 100% of the money goes towards his doctor bills to help cover the bills that were created during these major operation that he had. And anything that you can do to help this young man, he's, like I said, he's one of our family. He's one of the executives that helps us get all this stuff out. He's poured his heart and soul into us at Holosuite Media, and we just want to help him as much as we can. So we're going to go ahead and link this to the show notes, and anything that you can give would be more than helpful. So anything to say there, sir?
You know, we appreciate it. Like Jay said, you know, we all, real life gets in the way. We're not always around as much as we'd like to, but when we are, you know, we all hang out and chat, and Holosuite is a pretty close-knit group of people. And for those of you, if you listen to any of the other shows here at Holosuite, it's Alistair is who it is, who originally started on, you know, the Shaven Wookiee, and then went to Beyond the Veil, and who is now on the Geek Easy. So that's who it is. He's, like Jay said, he's just in a little bit of a bind financially, and you know, if you appreciate Alistair's commitment here at Holosuite and feel like helping out, he would be eternally grateful. We just wanted to make that known to you guys, our fans. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Alrighty, guys. I guess that's going to about wrap us up for this week. This will wrap up the Jay Show.
Ouch, man. I was monologuing. You had me monologuing.
It's cool, man. No, that's fine. So, let's see. You can get hold of us. Blacklace will have our pertinence on the way out, but you can get hold of me on the PlayStation Network, Steam, oh, good grief, and Raptor under Teletech 77062.
And you can find me under Steam, PlayStation Network, and Raptor under Jason, JaySynn. And hit me up. Like I said, I love being a missile target.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Y'all take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.